2 Corinthians 1. And notice here, we're talking about looking through Christian characteristics, and we've got a few more to get through, and then we'll wrap this up and move on to something else. But this one tonight is a good one, and it's dealing with stress. All of us have stress of some kind in some way, and some have more stress than others. And how do we deal with that as a child of God? What do we do? Well, we don't just let it go and just let bygones be bygones. Well, we handle it properly if we can, and we're going to find out from the Bible exactly what he says. Now, notice, if you will, 2 Corinthians 1, jump down to verse 3 there, and notice what Paul says. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now again, clarifying, don't waste a trial, don't waste a difficulty, don't waste a hiccup or a roadblock in life. God's allowing that for you to help someone else. And if you sit and just hold on to that, you're not fulfilling the will of God. You're going through something so you can comfort someone else. Verse 5, though, he says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. So again, if you suffer, there's a guarantee you'll be consoled. There's a consolation to that. Again, by the Lord, obviously, but by fellow believers. Okay, just a few more verses. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul says, I want you to understand, we are going through trouble too. He says, well, it's easy for you to say, Paul, you're not going through what we're going through. He says, well, you don't in fact know what we've been through. We've been through a lot. Even, notice, despaired of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So, how does a believer deal with stress? Now, notice your notes there. From time to time, everyone suffers from stress in one form or another. It's the common lot of mankind. We know that. By the way, every great saint in the Bible dealt with stress, didn't they? I just read through Genesis 15 and 16 in our Bible reading. And Abram comes and what? Man, he's stressed out. God says, move your family and just get up and go. And then he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation, a great people. And Abraham says, Lord, there's a problem. We don't have any kids. How are we going to do that? And he says, no, I'm going to handle that. So everyone deals with stress and problems. Now, we live in a world that is plagued with tremendous amount of stress. 75 to 90% of primary physician visits are due to stress. Can you believe that? 75 to 90%. What's your problem? I'm just stressed out. Or it leads to some physical problems. The dictionary defines stress as a force or system of forces that tends to produce deformation in a body, the resistance of a body to external forces, influence exerted forcibly, pressure, compulsion, emotional or intellectual strain or tension. Now, we hear much today about stress management as it applies to our physical, mental, and emotional health. The Bible does not use the word stress particularly, but it does use distress. Distress translates a Greek word meaning narrowness of room, calamity, to hem in closely. This is exactly what stress does. Now, how many would admit you're claustrophobic? How many are claustrophobic? Two or three of you. Okay. Man, you get in a tight space, and if you ever, some of you may not like to fly. I don't like to fly either, but you get in that tight space, and it's like, oh, no, and I got on the a flight just a while back, and I made a huge mistake. I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at my phone, and they called my number, you know. We're now boarding a whatever, and I missed it, and so I had to wait till the last. And I got on the plane like one of the last, and there was one seat left, and it was next to this big fella. And I was like, could I squeeze in there, sir? He looked, you know. So I sat there like this, you know, tightened up. There's claustrophobia. But that's exactly what stress does, doesn't it? It's narrowness of a room or calamity hem in closely. Now, being a Christian does not exempt us from stress. A matter of fact, being a Christian often brings new pressures that the unsaved never face. By the way, you get a little headache, you get a little problem at work, you get home and you can just do something about it. Okay, you got some problems. We pulled over to get something to eat the other day, and you know where what I'm talking about. But right next door is the old dispensary. Man, that thing got all kinds of people coming in and out of that thing, you know. And I don't know what they're getting it for, but you have to understand, maybe it's medicinal, but usually they're trying to relieve stress in some way. Now, thinking about it, we all go through pressures of stress. Jesus promised this. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Tribulation comes from a word that means pressure or stress. For sure, there are many times of joy and happiness. We know that. But there will also be times of difficulty and stress. Paul uses the words trouble, pressed out of measure, above strength, despaired even of life, he says in verse 8. And then he says, verse 9, the sentence of death was in us. We believed, he says, we were just going to die. That's what we thought. These are strong terms that shed some light on what can be expected in the Christian life from time to time. The Bible makes it very clear that the Christian life will not be a life of ease. There will be times of sorrow and suffering. There will be difficulties to face. We will experience tribulation. Now, there will be pressure brought to bear upon us. How do we handle this? Okay, first of all, notice if you will, there's the fact of stress. There's the fact of tribulation. Letter A, there's much self-imposed stress, which is avoidable. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 16:12. This is interesting to look at. There's much self-imposed stress, which is avoidable. One, a wrong approach to health problems. Notice this. And Asa, in the 39th year. Now remember, Asa was a good guy. Okay, he did a lot for the Lord. Notice, of the year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, you would think, well, that's a right thing to do, go to the physicians. Well, he was supposed to go to the Lord. Now, it is not wrong to see a doctor about health problems, we know that, but we must seek the Lord first in the matter. Always go to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? So there's much self-imposed stress, which can be avoided. One would be a health problem you have. Two would be a wrong approach to wealth or prosperity. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice that, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. You know these verses well, I'm sure. But there's a wrong approach to wealth and prosperity. What do I want? How do I want it? All these things. Notice, but they will that will be rich. There's a will, a desire. Fall into temptation. Now, I wish that was switched around. They that fall into riches. Don't you wish that? I just fell into riches. No, they that will be rich fall into what? Temptation and a snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. It's amazing what money will do. Pushes you to lust, doesn't it? I don't know what it is. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. Do we have the next verse there? Yeah. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So if you covet after money, you know that, you err from the faith. You error from the faith is another word, way to put it. You fail. You messed up. So we have sometimes self-imposed stress that can be avoided. Number three, willful sin, including unresolved conflicts. Notice Psalm 38. Psalm 38. There is maybe some sin that's due to unresolved conflicts or whatever the case may be that we see here. Oh, thank you. Oh, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Now, we'll stop there. But think about it. This can be including with unresolved conflicts. Thinking through, something maybe in our lives that we haven't handled yet, something that we haven't sought the Lord over. So self-imposed stress could be there. Letter B, though, notice also there's God-imposed stress, which we really can't avoid. You say, would God really bring stress to my life? He might. Go to Acts 14, verse 21 and 22. I want you to notice this. This is interesting as well. There can be God-imposed stress, which really we cannot avoid. He says, notice, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, notice, enter the kingdom of God. That's what he was preaching. He said, let's go back and visit these churches. And he says, what do you want to preach, Paul? You're going to preach to us about the love of God? You're going to preach to us about how we're doing everything right? He says, no, I'm going to tell you about the tribulations that you have to go through, the tribulations you have to endure. Now, that's again, this is why I have a problem with a lot of the preaching that's on television and social media, because it's this smiley-faced fella that all he preaches about is what? The love of God. You can do it. Oh, if you can't, oh, don't let those naysayers, critics keep you down. You just, now that's good pep talk, but we need the word. What happens when I go through a tribulation in life? Okay, so notice our English word tribulation. It comes from a Latin word, tribulum. A tribulum is a large piece of wood the size of a railroad tie with nails driven in and sticking out. It was used to pull the grain over to remove the chaff. God uses tribulation to remove the chaff from us. You think about it. You know what that is. It's just a piece of board with nails sticking up, and they run that grain over it and pull it, right? They smack it down and pull it. They're getting rid of all the nonsense. Well, a couple things here, notice, or more than that. One, this separates the false from the true. Matthew 13, 21 separates the false from the true. You and I need that daily. I need to remove the false from the true. I need to know exactly what God wants for me. And if I'm not careful, what? I deceive myself, don't I? I let myself get out of whack. Well, I'll be okay. Well, it wasn't too bad. Well, that's all right. No, notice what he says. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but it dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, well, by and by he's offended. Right? He's offended. Well, I can't handle that. And I'm so thankful for you, dear folks, because you are faithful. You've endured tribulations and trials, and you're still here. But how many people have shown up to our church or in any church, and they only stood for a little while? They stayed, came maybe a little while, and they quit. They go to this church. I'm going to go to a different church. They go to a different church. And like the one pastor, he said, well, why haven't you been in church? I haven't found the right church for me yet. He says, well, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for a perfect church. He said, well, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Because we're not, you're going to ruin that one too. You keep looking around for some church that fits every and checks every box off. You'll keep looking until the day you die. Now think about this. Number two, though, this builds character in us. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. Not only does it separate the false from the true, God is maybe putting us through that tribulum, pulling us, getting rid of the nonsense, the stuff that doesn't matter, and getting us right where we need to be, focused on that. Oh, thank you. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. He says, listen, you're going to go through tribulations, but don't forget who God is. Don't turn your back on God. Thirdly, this strengthens our faith. Fourthly, this is conforming us to the image of Christ. You know Romans 8, 29, I hope you do. But you know verse 28 talks about some of those things. Verse 29, look, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're to be conformed to the image of the son. Now, what does that mean? Were to go through, as Paul says in Philippians, that I may have what? That fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him and go through it, become more Christ-like. And the way we become more Christ-like is, again, often through some of these challenges, maybe stresses in our lives. When we come to realize this is necessary, it can change our whole attitude toward life. By the way, God doesn't put you through it for a long period of time. He gives reprieve. You go through seasons in life. And a lot of times it's through our own stupidity, our own sinfulness, we put ourselves in bad situation. But sometimes God will allow us to go through this again to get us where we need to be. Fifthly, this is carefully supervised. Carefully. He says in Romans 8, 28, what again? He knows this. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? The only way that you'll believe that things will work together for good is if you love the Lord. Well, of course I love the Lord. No, really. Does your life reflect that? Is he number one? To them who are called according to his purpose. Okay, so we see it. Everything in the life of the believer is either ordained or permitted by the Lord. Either one. God ordered it or God permitted it. God allowed it. God allowed it to come into your life. Now, I don't know why. Sometimes we don't know why and even have an answer to it. Okay, so there is the fact of stress. Number two, though, there's wrong responses to stress. What are some wrong responses? I just have a list of some things here. But again, we can run from it. The world today runs from stress. They don't want to endure it. You can leave home. You can, as a child, you can leave home, abandon your family. As a father, you can leave home and abandon your family. You can quit, quitting on marriage, divorce, separation. You can avoid people. You can shut yourself in, flip it over there. Four, you can even people come to the point of committing suicide. I've dealt with several people that said, Brother Tim, I'm thinking I don't want to live anymore. I'm done. And, you know, obviously try to calm them down and get them to think about things. And I said before, I had one fella call me 6:30 in the morning. He said, Brother Tim, I'm done. I said, hang on. Hello? What? Hang on a second. He says, I'm done. I'm sitting on my bed right now with my pistol in my hand. I'm done. I said, hang on. Just calm down. Give me a minute. You know, let me figure out where I am, first of all, and what's going on. And he was a little hyped up and excited, but he calmed down and everything else and got, you know, where he was supposed to be. But, man, people are struggling today, aren't they? And they think the only way out is to just end it all. Now, again, we got to be careful about that. I believe personally no Christian, if you're truly saved, I don't believe a saved child of God should ever commit suicide. Now, that doesn't mean some Catholics especially teach if you commit suicide, you go to hell or purgatory. That's not biblical, okay? You can't lose your salvation. You can get to a point so low, so depressed because you got away from church and away from God and out of the Word of God and maybe substances that you're taking and other things that you can maybe do something like that. Okay. Number five, you can quit the job, quit the school, quit the church, just in general quit. And I want to encourage you, just give it one more shot. Give it one more Sunday. Give it one more just keep going. Just give it one more and ask God to help you. Don't quit. Quitting in the Bible is never a characteristic of a Christian, of a child of God. We don't quit. They just don't do it. And the Bible says that Jesus, in one point, he went a little further, meaning he went a little further towards the cross. Okay, letter B, we can drown it out. You know that? Alcohol, drugs, immorality, pornography, all kinds of stuff that can happen. We can just drown it out. We're fighting it with anger, burying it down deep inside. And the example of a volcano, soon it's going to erupt. We keep putting it way, way down there. It'll blow up. Now, letter D, ignoring it. We can blame it on others. Engaging in self-pity, that causes depression, or getting mad even at God. Some people get mad at God. Why, God? Why'd you allow that? And again, several cases like that where people have lost children and spouses and other things, and they say, why, God? God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And God in his grace will work and help us through that. Okay, all of these only make the pressure worse. God is working in us, building character. It is sometimes like a pressure cooker. The lid is locked in place, the fire is turned up, and the steam begins to build the pressure. The relief valve on top regulates and releases a little at a time. If that valve is not correct, the pot will blow up. We want God to turn off the heat, but he will not. He's provided the relief valve. There are proper ways to handle pressure. Again, every one of us have a relief valve of some kind. And if you grew up in a certain circumstance, you get stressed or strained or irritated or frustrated, and you may run to something, whatever it is, whatever the case is. I won't say, we're careful because we got some young ones here tonight. But people run to certain things to release that. There's a release pressure valve. And maybe it's for you. It's some kind of addiction here or something here that was in your past. We got to be careful. Come right back to the Bible. And see, God, help me and guide me. Thirdly, then, the correct response to stress. We need to seek to identify the source of pressure. One, it could be from the devil. It could be from our adversary. Can I encourage you, James 4:7. Notice James 4:7. Sit still, maintain your course, don't do anything drastic. That's what he says. Submit yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Not might flee from, he will. That's a guarantee. What is it? We submit ourselves to God. Lord, I'm submitting, and literally, physically say it out loud. Lord, I'm submitting myself to you, and I resist you, Satan. I resist you. Because what? We're showing this. And he'll flee from you. You claim the name of Christ, claim the name of the Lord. Now again, I said this before, his hand is on the thermostat. He knows exactly how much he can handle, and sometimes we question that, but he really does. Two, sometimes it is self-imposed. Make the necessary corrections so that you are pleasing the Lord. Notice Proverbs 16:7. We make some necessary changes, necessary corrections, that we can please the Lord. That's our goal in that. When a man's ways please the Lord, notice he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. You got a lot of turmoil happening right now. A lot of people after you and against you and angry at you and frustrated with you. And you're going, what in the world's going on? I don't know what's happening. One area you might want to look at is, am I pleasing the Lord? Am I seeking him in everything? Is he pleased with me? Thirdly, the pressure may be from God. If we already talked about that. If it is, then we wait upon him to accomplish his purpose. Psalm 27:14, to accomplish his purpose. I want him to accomplish his purpose in my life, that I do not fail from that. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why does he say it twice? Because we don't listen. I don't want to wait. I want to do it now. I want it now. I want to go to the drive-up and get something right now. And then you go to the drive-up over here at the burger place. They go, please pull to number one. I told the young teenager a while back, I said, I'm not pulling forward. So, what do you mean? He got real nervous. I said, my bag was right there. My bag was right there. My soda was right there. Okay, that's all. Okay. Just hand it to me, man. And then you pull to number one, and then you sit there and wait again. You know? And the kid walked past me. I said, hey, is my order ready yet? I was before that car. I was before that. Okay. I was nice about it. Right, Belle? I was right? Okay. She won't answer. Okay, where was I? Stress. I wasn't handling it like I'm talking. Self-imposed stress, pressure maybe from God. Okay, set right priorities. Matthew 6:33. Set right priorities. This is what he says. What's he say? Seek ye first. Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? Couple of ways. Again, God is first. You know that. Not self, not family, not job, not money. God is first. Church, settle it. Attending. It'll relieve pressure or stress. Tithing. Determine to tithe. You need to tithe. You need to give to the Lord. Well, that's my money. I'll do with what I want. Sure. However you feel. You need to first join a local church. Become a member of a local church. Bible-believing local church. Not hopping around to church to church to church. Then you need to start tithing to that church. Not because the church needs money. Why? Because it's the biblical thing to do. It's obedience. God loveth a cheerful giver. Not out of necessity and other things. What is it? You're setting your priorities. Separation, living like the world. It'll increase the pressure. It doesn't alleviate the pressure. Everything the world pushes is temporal. It's a little temporal thing. Okay, here, take this and do this and have this, and it'll relieve little pressure. You say, no, I want to get rid of all of it. We need to separate ourselves. Witnessing, not witnessing, increases the pressure. I want to fulfill. God created all of us as children of God to be a witness for him. That's how he created us. That's what he wants us to do. He gave us the Great Commission. Two, after God comes family. Providing for our family, it relieves pressure. Husband and wife need to be together. Children need mom and dad at home. Families need more than just material things. Okay, we all know that. Letter C, then notice, deal correctly with known sin. Confess and forsake it. First John 1:9, if we what? Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then enjoy the release of pressure. I like Psalm 32. Notice that. Psalm 32, verse 1. We can enjoy it. We can enjoy what God's given to us. Thank you. Blessed is those, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, though my roaring all the day long. Is there more to that? Oh, yeah. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest iniquity of my sin. So see it, that is possible. John just reiterates this again in 1 John, but we need that. Resolve conflicts. You can turn to these verses on your own, but resolve conflicts. We need to put away anger, letter E, release resentment and ease the stress. F, face physical problems, pain, disfigurement maybe, if something were to come into your life. Accept it. God never makes a mistake. Seeking Him first, then see a doctor if He so orders. That's easy to say, again, really hard to do. Assume responsibility that is yours. What's your responsibility? Kids, what's your responsibility? You have a list of responsibilities that you have to do? Assume that. Assume means I'll take full advantage of it. I will take control of it. I will manage it. You don't have to ask me to do that. I'm going to do it without you having to push me in that way. Stop worrying. Worry is unbelief. It only increases the pressure. And then notice, believe the word of God. Go to Isaiah 40, verse 25. Notice, we've got to believe the word of God. Tribulation has a purpose and will not separate us from the love of God. I love it. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names. By the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know those verses, but we've got to believe the word. He says that I will not be separated from the love of God. If you keep feeding your mind this and keep feeding yourself as you read the Bible, God said he'll never leave me. God said he'll never forsake me. God said he knows what he's doing. God said he'll take care of me. God said he loves me. God said actually he knows what's going on and I should just trust him through all of this. He said wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait. That just encourages us, doesn't it? Tribulation is always accompanied by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's always accompanied with the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient, he says. God's grace is always there. He's always waiting and seeking to help us. Okay, then Jay, stop procrastinating. Do what you should do now. Now, get on it. Go for it. What kind of stress are you experiencing today or at this time? If we deal with it biblically, we can live pleasing the Lord, pleasing to God. Okay, now again, I say this each week. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we all deal with stress and strain, and some of you have tremendously stressful jobs. You have tremendously stressful situations you're dealing with right now. And I don't know, we have some that are first responders or some of you former military, maybe been in combat or something like that. And you said, Brother Tim, you don't have an idea what stress is. And I don't. But we can handle stress the correct way. And we say, Lord, help me in this. Why? Because I want to have the characteristics of a child of God. Now, let's all come all the way back to our opening text. He said what? In 2 Corinthians, what did he say? What you're going through today is for what? You to help someone else. It's not for you to just keep it in. Well, I've been through this, been through that. No, to help out other people. God has blessed you financially. You need to be helping and further the kingdom. God has blessed you with certain talents. You need to use that to further the kingdom. God's blessed you in this or that, whatever it is. God, help me to be what you want me to be. You've given me this body, these talents, these funds, this job, the ability to see and hear and speak and stand upright and walk for a reason. And it's all what? For the glory of God. And when we stand before him real soon, he's going to say what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What I gave you, you used for my glory. All right? Anyways, thank you for being here tonight once again. And again, I want to encourage you to study these verses on your own and look some of this up because it'll greatly encourage you as you do. Okay, Lord, thank you for this evening. Again, for these dear people that have been so faithful. And God, each week we come together and I thank you for them. I pray you'd help us all, Lord. And God, we're just trying to stay true, fight the good fight of faith. We're trying to stay our course, keep going. Help us to apply the armor of God this week. Guide us now, please. We love and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.